8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Knotfest.com presents Talk to Me. With over 300 interviews under his belt and 6 years running, your host Joshua Toomey interviews metal and rock's heaviest hitters. Follow the show at Talk to Me Talk. Here's your host, Joshua Toomey.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Talk to Me here on Knotfest.com. As always, I am Joshua Toomey, joined by the one, the only Chris Aiken. Chris, how are we doing?
About as good as I was 5 minutes ago.
Hey, man, this is a take two, all right? And if you order the special features of the Talk to Me podcast, you yourself can get the flubbed intro that I just did.
That's right. What's happening, man?
Not a lot, man. I interviewed a band from your neck of the woods called Frail. Kind of okay. A cool, like, I called them like female Deftones. You definitely would not like them. Kind of a doomy, shoegazy, you know, band or whatever. But they, very cool band, very cool story, man. They had a story on there that I never really heard before. And we've done this for many years and many interviews. But they found the riff to their, like, latest single on Instagram. Like, a guy was just, I guess, uploading riffs. And they heard this perfect riff that would go in their song. So they reached out to him and asked if they could collaborate with him.
Wow.
And then he's like, yeah. And then so they collaborated and actually used some of the original guitars from the riff they heard on Instagram. It's a very, very, like, 2022 story. It's crazy.
I was going to say, you didn't hear about any of that in the 80s, did you?
No. Well, that was a question. I actually brought it back up later in the interview. I asked him, why they didn't just write a riff similar. You know, you hear something that you like. Yeah. And then just be like, that's you can get inspiration from, not necessarily rip off or just take, but yeah, you know, you take the riff and throw it in your song, and there you go, man. So so crazy times we're living in these days.
Yeah. What are the? I mean, they could have just stolen the riff too. Not that I'm advocating that, but let's be honest. What are the odds that this Instagram guy is going to hear their song and say, "Hey, wait a minute, that's my riff from from IG"? No way.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely, run into a mess there. But, that's what I did ask him that question. And I think he was like, I just wouldn't have felt right stealing a riff. I'm like, I get it. But, I mean, you could at least write something similar and get away with it.
Sure. Well, so, hey, good on Frail, the Instagram band of the year.
Yeah, and they're a very visual band, too, if you're into that stuff. And they were talking about... Instagram came up a lot in this because, they got to make visual stuff for Instagram and make sure everybody knows what's going on. And they're all into the spooky and the witchcraft. So a very October band.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah. I'm surprised I don't know of them. I really have never heard of them.
I don't think that they're like, I mean, they have a bunch of releases out. They're probably from bands that, actually, they actually had a... How quickly I can pull that up, because it was like he was from something. I'm sure you would probably know it.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm...
But
that is a total... A not when you're saying the name Frail as a band, I'm like, never heard them. And I'm not saying that doesn't mean much. I mean, I'm sort of... I don't know. Are you still connected to, like, your scene like you used to be?
No. Well, a lot of it to me... is I was never really in this scene. He was in a band, Sean Bielowetsky, formerly of Disengage.
Oh, I know Disengage, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So Sean, guitar player, band called Disengage.
Yeah, they their claim to fame was that their album featured artwork by what's that guy's name? Derek God damn it. Why can't I think of his name? The dude that does like the scratchy art. He did Sepultura's album cover.
Oh, nice.
Derek something. God damn it. I can't think of his name.
Awesome. Well, yeah, so that's where that came from. But you're asking about the scene stuff. I didn't necessarily grow up in the Louisville scene. So I never really kept up with it to begin with. I still have a lot of friends in Nashville, and I kind of keep up with them. But yeah, I was at a bar here that's owned by the drummer from Knocked Loose.
Okay.
And and I was talking to him about, you know, just kind of the local bands, and he went on like just this list of bands that are kind of popping out of the Louisville area. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know any of those guys.
Yeah, you get disconnected. I'm completely disconnected these days. Yeah. But by the way, the artist was Derek Hess.
There we go. Nice.
You know, who did do Sepultura album artwork and some Pantera stuff and a bunch of other stuff. So good, great artist. And I feel like a dick that I didn't remember his last name, but whatever. It all happens. Good.
The other interview that's posted is my interview with Corey Brennan, who is the owner of Knotfest, the owner of 5B, the boss, the guy who signs the checks. Him and a lady named Emily, they were at Louder Than Life, and they were both kind of talking about their respective charity work. He does Rock Against Racism. She does Punk Rock and Paintbrushes. So, you know, we were talking about, you know, their charitable efforts in the world today.
Hey, Corey, you're my favorite guy here at the event. You're the best.
Yeah, it's funny. And I'll pull the curtain back a little bit. And I've interviewed, you know, like I said, Jason Newsted, Dave Ellison, like my heroes growing up, you know. I have never been more nervous for an interview in my life because I wanted to do good and ask him good questions and for him to walk away going, man, I'm glad he's on our team. And even Melissa, after I was done, she was just like, ooh, a little nervous there, weren't you?
Nice. That's like, funny.
You know, he's you know.
He's the boss.
He's the boss. And you want to walk away going, you know, that was the best interview of the day and all that stuff. Yeah, so.
You don't want him going, why am I giving that guy money?
Right. So yeah. So if you comment on the YouTube, make sure to head over to the Knotfest YouTube and say nice things about me. So he'll see.
Yes. Talk to me is awesome. Signed everybody.
The best. What do you have interview wise this week? Your Blackie Lawless should be out by now, right?
Blackie Lawless comes out by the time people hear this, it'll be out. I have no idea what I did Monday, and I have no idea what's coming. Them was on Thursday or Monday. Mm-hmm. Thursday. God, I'm a mess. The band Them, which is kind of like, if you like Merciful Fate or King Diamond. Friday? I got to look because I really have no idea. Dude, I'm so far in advance of my interviews right now that my interviews are all scheduled up at 2 a week until mid-December. Wow. So I'm so lost. Some of these interviews I did like months ago. Let's see. So Wasp is tomorrow. And David Reese of Iron Allies is Friday. Nice. So him and that's him and Herman Frank, both from Accept. They have a new band called Iron Allies. So that's good stuff.
So how was your Blackie Lawless interview?
Well, it wasn't as good as my friend Wendell's. I will say that much, but it was great. I mean, he was good to talk to. You know, he's got this tour that's getting ready to come up, which is allegedly the last run of Wasp in the States. And, you know, I'll put it this way. I really didn't have much plans on going, and now I kind of want to go. Because he really sold me well on just the stage show, and it's going to be over the top. And he said he's got more gear for this show than when they toured with the Headless Children, which was their one arena tour. Wow. And I'm like, why are you going to have all this gear to play in fucking clubs? But he said something about they're going to be tears and, you know, like it's going to raise up. I'm like, wow, that sounds pretty impressive and cool. And, you know, and plus it's Armored Saint and Wasp. That's pretty good for an old fuck like me. That's my wheelhouse. So
it'll be a good night of metal.
Yeah. So I may go. I still haven't committed to going yet, but I'm just because he sold me on it doesn't mean that I actually went and bought the ticket. I went to buy tickets, and you know me, I'm a fat old guy, so I need a chair. And I went to buy seats, $318 a ticket.
Wow.
And I was like, hell no, I am not spending that much to see Wasp, you know, like Wasp, not that much. So, you know, now it comes down to, and you know this rule, dude, now you don't ever like to be that guy that calls publicist and says, hey, not only do I want tickets, but I want you to do me a favor with the tickets too, you know, because that guy's an asshole that, right, that makes that call. So I try really hard not to make that call, but I'm leaning toward making that call.
Make the call, you know, make the call.
I haven't made that call in about four or five years now, where I've asked for tickets and a favor.
Right.
Last time I did was when Miles Kennedy came to the Agora solo, and I asked for tickets, and boy, did props to our friend Kevin Sciarmonti, who not only did he give me good tickets, but he gave me balcony seats where I had my own balcony to myself. I mean, he ruled. So, you know,
you're like, hello, can I please get a glass of your finest lager? Yeah.
That was about it too. They really took care of me. So, you know, when you do ask, if you don't do it all the time, they do take care of you. So
right.
I probably am going to ask, but I don't know, dude. I hate being that guy, though. I'd rather just spend the money most times.
It's funny. I heard you guys kind of talking about ticket prices and dynamic prices and things like that. And my Facebook memories popped up the other day that I had scanned in a bunch of tickets of shows that I had gone to, and they just happened to pop up, and never even really thought about it back in the day, or even, you know, current day, about it. Because you always see like, oh man, I saw, like your story, I saw Led Zeppelin for $5, you know, I'm not going to pay $400 to see Blink-182 because I paid $8 to see them at a punk club one time.
Right.
But I actually looked at the tickets again, and I looked at the prices of all these tickets, and it's like Pantera, White Zombie, I Hate God, $15.
I know.
It has all these shows that if they came back around now, they're going to be $200. And like there was a Metallica one on there for like $12.50, and just, just crazy the amounts of money that we did not spend on tickets back then. And the, you know, the service fee was like $3. It would be like a $15 ticket with $3 service fee, $18. Boom, you're in and out.
Yeah. It was like a one, what did we used to call it? A one bill buy. It's like 20 bucks, no matter what. It was always right around 20 bucks.
Yeah.
And I mean, every one of those great, now admittedly I'm old, but every one of the great bands from the 80s I saw for like 20 bucks, you know, Anthrax, Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer, you know, Metal Church, Queensryche, Rat, Dokken, Bon Jovi, all of them. I saw Dio, you know, dude, I saw one of my best shows I've ever went to in my life, Black Sabbath and Wasp, for $15.
Wow.
$15 for Black Sabbath. It's like, shit. Now, if you saw Black Sabbath play one song opening at a football stadium, it'd be $200.
Yeah. Well, the Titans did get their new stadium approved, and the early photos, the early renderings are coming out. And I'm kind of either way on it. It does. If you look at it, it does not look like a stadium right away.
Okay.
A lot of people say it looks like a Starbucks or like a Topgolf.
Right.
It's got a very like, was it like Frank Lloyd Wright look to it? It looks like a cool house in the woods.
Sure.
But then they showed the inside of it, and obviously it looks pretty amazing. But you know, when you think of a stadium, you think of something more like what they did in Minnesota or Oakland or the Las Vegas Raiders stadium. This one's a little bit more architectural, I guess.
Well, that SoFi Stadium is like that too. That doesn't really look like a stadium. That looks like some bullshit that escaped from the Rock Hall, right. You know, it does, but I think the coolest of the cool so far has been the Vegas one.
Yeah.
That thing looks like a shiny Roomba, you know, it does. It just looks cool. It looks cool. And I've talked to a few friends that have been there to say that it's amazing. It's an amazing experience to go there. And you know, that's what I'll probably get to, I would imagine, at some point.
The one thing that everybody keeps kind of complaining about with it is it's actually like the current stadium is like 69,000.
Mm-hmm.
This one they're saying is like right at 60. Like they're actually taking out 10,000 seats, and everybody kind of tends to complain. But I'm like, man, a lot of times I've wanted to go to games and like the only tickets available are like up in the corners of the top. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why would I want to go to that game? I can just watch it at home or you know, spend that kind of money and go to the bar and have a good time, you know, with appetizers and a meal and buying shots and drinks. Like, so I think that like they've been talking about this for years about stadiums kind of going smaller, more intimate, more mm-hmm. more about the experience rather than like the University of Tennessee. And I think even your team there in Columbus, Ohio, I mean, they're like 100,000 seat stadiums.
Yeah.
And it crazy. Looks insane. Like they look insane when they're full, but mm-hmm. I think these pro stadiums are going more for like an intimate, you know, more fan friendly sure. atmospheres.
Well, dude, we went through the Indians back when that was a team. They went through the biggest change up ever. We had the old Cleveland Stadium, which was like 78,000 seats.
Right.
And you'd go to a baseball game there and there'd be like 2,000 people. Like there'd yeah. be no one. I mean, and it really looked like there was, even if it was like 10,000 people there, it looked like no one was there because it yeah. was so big. And then when they built the new stadium, the one that they play in now, it was, I think it was 43,000 or something, maybe 41. It was much smaller, like half the size. And it became, you know, it became a hard ticket. And I mean, I'm sure you remember they have the record. They still have the record, I believe, for the most sold out games in a row at 400 and I think wow. it's 455 straight games that they sold. Now, admittedly, the team was great at that point. That was the whole right. Albert Bell, Kenny Lofton, Jim Thome. You know, that was like a good era for Indians.
My uncle, Jim Thome.
Yeah, your uncle. Your uncle, Jim Thome. but yeah, I mean, they sold out every game. And it was damn hard to get a ticket, man. I remember, now that's the time when I spent a lot of money buying tickets because you couldn't just go, like the whole season would be sold out a year in advance. You know, if you didn't get tickets, like, and it was always fucked up because the tickets would go on sale like the day after Christmas or some really shitty way like that. It was right. always awful. And it was like, all right, so you spend all your money at Christmas, but you got to hold back like a grand so that you could buy, you know, a 20 game pack or whatever for the, but you'd buy the 20 game pack and then you'd sell 18 pairs of the tickets and you just go once or twice and make your money. But you know, I went and I loved it and it was cool. It's cool to have a sold out room. I don't care what size it is. I don't yeah. care if it's 100 people, if it's a sold out room of 100 people or 100,000 people. If the room is packed to the gills, it's fun.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm for them making it smaller. Personally, I would love to see football be a little bit smaller, a little bit closer. Cause that's the other thing too, dude. I don't know how the Titans stadium is, but here in Cleveland, man, if you're sitting in section 520 row X, man, you need a battery powered telescope to see the field, you know?
It's
tough.
When I first started going to Titans games in the late 90s, we had a friend who had seats that were, they were the very last row, almost 50 yard line. Like you, mm-hmm. you got like a bird's eye view of the thing. And it just looked like ants, like,
yeah.
you know, just kind of scurrying around, you know? And I mean, it was always fun to go, obviously, you know, a free ticket's a free ticket, but,
sure.
But yeah, it was like, you never really knew, especially like on close calls, like, you know, inches away from a first down, things like yeah. that. You're like, I have no idea what just yeah. happened. And that was back before now they have the giant jumbotrons, mm-hmm. but that was back in the day when they had like that scoreboard that had a small one.
Sure.
So even the replays look funky and stuff right. like that. But yeah, man, they released that rendering today. And, actually our connection there at Knotfest texted me about how cool it looked. And I'm like, yeah, Knotfest Nashville is going to be awesome.
Nice.
So,
dude, am I the only person on this planet that thinks that football is better on TV than live? I would much rather watch it on TV than yeah. go anytime. I would rather watch it on TV.
I like going to the games when it's like a big playoff type game and
yeah.
the atmosphere and everybody's mm-hmm. there, you know, high fiving and obviously winning, you know,
yeah.
that's the one thing is I always have an issue with because we talk about, you know, I technically live closer to the Colts stadium than I do my own home stadium yeah. and, you know, Titans play there once a year, every year, but the two times I've been there, we've gotten whooped. So like, I'm not going back up there, but it's like, it's fun to go and I would love to travel and see the team more, but if I, you know, like this weekend we're playing Houston, go down to Houston, have a good time, get a hotel, go out to dinner, do all the stuff. But right. If we lose, like I'm just going to be like, why did I just spend $2,000 on this trip? Yeah,
exactly.
Be fucking mad. You know?
So you won't be coming out of it going, well, at least we had a good time. No.
No, I'm never like,
no.
Well, you know, I hope they all had fun. No.
No. Dude, I'm not like that when I come out of Cleveland.
Yeah.
I'm an hour from the stadium with traffic, and that hour feels like it's 3 years.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I'm all pissed off and angry.
Listening to Colin in the Colin show, like,
yeah, exactly.
Fire everyone.
Kill them all.
There is nothing better than a local team's call-in show after a bad loss.
Oh yeah.
Like it is just,
don't I know?
and the like, and because I don't think those people are like just normal sports talk listeners.
No.
And they are just they listen on the way into the game and on the way out of the game. Mm-hmm. And they just yell and scream the most insane stuff.
Well, I don't know about your sports talk, but here in Cleveland, it's all a bunch of dummies that listen. I mean, the call-ins, dude, I can barely listen to sports talk here because the call-ins are so bad. You know, it's just guys that are like, you know, Jacoby Brissett really could be good. Shut up. Shut up, you non-watching idiot.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, it's you know, you get those guys, but I think a lot of the hosts that I listen to are very quick to pull the trigger on those guys too.
Yeah. Well, they try to, but nothing worse in sports talk than the regular caller guy.
Oh yeah.
That guy is always the worst. Cause they let him just have bad take after bad take because he's, well, geez, this is Bill in Bedford. He's a name.
Yeah.
So they let him call in and just say all kinds of stupid shit. And nobody ever just says, dude, you're a moron. Click.
There's actually a caller that calls in every day after a game from Cleveland. He's a Titans fan in Cleveland.
Oh, nice.
He's actually pretty funny. I'll give him that. But yeah, there's a few regulars that you're just like, is. Mm. But yeah, man. Well, now that we've talked 20 minutes on sports, let's get into some news of the week, man. Not a ton going on, but I pulled up a few stories that I think will be fun. Speaking of concert venues,
yes,
and just different places to play, I guess.
Okay,
Ozzy Osbourne to perform virtually at Metaverse Music Festival's edition of the Ozfest.
How about that? So it's going to be what? It's a live stream?
I don't think it's a live stream. I think it's
pre-recorded.
I do believe that this is virtual reality. So I don't know. I honestly didn't read too much on it because I wanted to be blown away with you. All right. So from blabbermouth.net, a website on the internet, the iconic global touring festival Ozfest, which launched the careers of countless bands, including Slipknot, Disturbed, System of a Down, Incubus, Lamb of God, and many others, is coming to Decentraland with a confirmed virtual performance from Ozzy Osbourne himself and exciting acts that are soon to be announced. Decentraland is the world's largest user-owned and operated virtual social world, has announced the sophomore edition of the Metaverse Music Festival, the MVMF, for all of you laymen out there, including confirmed talent, new types of metaverse experiences, and more. This year, the MVMF returns bigger and bolder from November 10th to the 13th with 100 confirmed artists, more to come across a uniquely curated community genre stages, and with newly created Web3-enabled immersive music experiences presented by digital asset platform Kraken, the MVMF is free for all to attend, no VR, ticket, or headset required.
So how do you watch it? On TV? On a computer? Is that how you watch it? If there's no headset required. So it's just like... you're watching a YouTube video.
Let's see. In October 2021, Decentraland hosted the inaugural Metaverse Music Festival, which hosted 80 artists, including Web3 innovators deadmau5, 3Lao, Paris Hilton, Rack, and Alice Wonderland. Saw 50,000 unique attendees during the four-day event. Major artists include Jason Derulo and Grimes. Label producers have embraced virtual performances, leading to MTV announcing a new Metaverse category at their 2022 VMAs. Mm. Now, this paragraph, I could just, looking ahead, you might want to take notes.
All right.
So this is set in a cyberpunk city of the future. The 2022 festival centerpiece is the Tower of Babel stage, featuring Universal Music France's Vladimir Kouchmar, award-winning Chinese idol group SNH48, crypto-punk rapper Spotty Wi-Fi,
wow,
Japanese girl group Itarashi Gakko, London-based Afro and funk band Amadeus and the Ambassador, Finnish one-woman orchestra Maija Kahanen.
Now, are these real bands or are these made up like anime bands? Or
I think these are all real people. Space Rock Project, Handshaking, British DJ and producer Akira the Don, DJ Eddie Temple Morris's band Losers, and Klimza, the Web3 launchpad music artist, including K-pop band 2AM, Israeli DJs and producers Erica Krall and Lionel Gold, and former Division One athlete Pip. Now, did any of that make any sense to anybody?
No. And the only performer you mentioned that I would watch digitally on this whole damn thing is Paris Hilton, but it's got to be a certain kind of digital.
Yeah, I don't think that's in the metaverse. I think that's in the
Hubiverse.
Dylan Francis will be there, so that's a thing. There's no like video. There's no. I was hoping that there would be like maybe a clip from last year or something in this, but yeah, it's. I mean, it's launched in 2020. Decentraland is a virtual social world powered by the Ethereum blockchain and the first decentralized metaverse. So, I mean, this is like this is up there with like an NFT.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on here.
Yeah. Dude, you know, the weird thing is we're all going to have to learn this shit at some point.
Right.
Because this is the way it's going to go. People are going to stop touring here sooner than later. And this is the way you're going to see these bands in the future, is you're going to pop on a pair of VR glasses. I know they're saying you don't need them in this, but you're going to pop on some VR goggles at some point, and you're going to push a button to see, you know, Ozzy with his 1986 band playing that tour.
Actually next week, the Talk To Me podcast is actually going to go to the metaverse. So if you want to come with us, we're all going to the metaverse.
Oh, good.
So you're going to have to get onto the Ethereum blockchain to get this show.
Well, I have Ethereum.
Well, there we go. So now you can...
I can get in.
Maybe you can buy some merch from the...
from the virtual store.
Wonder if you have to stand in line like you would at a normal concert. Just standing there, just like looking around, trying to see if you know, a t-shirt size you want's there or something like
that. Right.
The virtual line for the bathroom, the virtual beer line, you know,
take a virtual piss,
virtual piss. So, yeah. So if you guys want to go see Ozzy play at the Ozfest, it's in the internet this year.
The virtual Ozfest
and the virtual metaverse.
I can't wait personally, because I'm assuming that I'm not supposed to say that this sounds really fucking stupid and terrible.
I will at least attempt to try to figure this out. How many Ozzy Osbourne, true Ozzy Osbourne fans that have loved Ozzy since Black Sabbath are going to be able to even find this?
None. Zero. Dude, I'm a tech guy, and what you're reading sounds foreign language to me. I make my living doing tech.
Right.
This is outside of my realm, and I know I'm usually pretty tuned into this kind of
stuff. Like, even something as simple as, and back to football, But Amazon having Thursday night football. Like, I remember the post of, I think Clay Travis put out there. He's like, how many of your parents or grandparents are going to be able to find this game tonight?
Yeah. You know?
So, and this is even like 30 times worse.
Yeah, dude, everything with this, all, I hate to be the old guy in the room, but I'm going to be the old guy in the room here. There's too much virtual bullshit going on in every universe right now.
Yeah.
You know, music, I just want to see bands play. I don't want to see a virtual Dio. I don't want to see a virtual Ozzy. I'm not interested in DJ Israeli Kumpop or whatever the fuck you named off there. I have no interest in that. I just want to see people in front of me playing. Same with like the virtual. This has nothing to do with football per se, except for. So last night I get a text from my girl Kelly. Okay. She hits me up and she's like, why is Peyton and Eli Manning interrupting this fucking football game?
Okay.
And I was like, well, what are you watching? And she's like, I'm watching the Monday Night Football. Well, she was on like ESPN2 or something.
Right.
Where I guess the Mannings like their commentary or whatever.
Yeah, they do just like a little watch along. It's not bad. It's honestly not that bad.
But I was just like, you're on the wrong thing. Switch over to you know, part one. And it's just like I was watching the Thursday night football game I don't remember who it was, but who it was, the Saints and somebody. And dude, I don't know if have you watched Thursday night football yet on Amazon?
Yeah, I have.
Have you played with your remote while you're watching it or no?
No.
Dude, you hit your remote and it's you want to talk about a whole nother universe. Jesus, there's one, if you go one way, there's 4,000 stats. Every stat you can imagine, you know, the amount of grass between this and this, you know, I mean, it's there. Every stat you can imagine. You go another way, it's got plays. You go another way, and it's here's the Spanish broadcast, here's the women's broadcast, here's the no broadcast. It's like there's a million options to watch a stupid football game. It's like, how about you just give me the fucking football game? That's all I want. Do you think people are doing this?
I mean, I hope so. It just kind of keeps everything going. Looking at this this other paragraph in here. This year, Decentraland is doubling down on the music in the metaverse. MVMF will showcase the latest metaverse technology that presents listeners with truly unique experiences only available through a virtual world. Decentraland's unique emotes feature enables any creator worldwide to create custom moves and gestures that will bring your avatar to life and will be a central part of how concert goers have fun through dancing and self-expression during the festival. New motion capture technology will also be demonstrated on this global stage from move.ai, which enables motion capture with no suits, and kinetic.tech that aims to empower creators to make emote NFTs using only a phone camera. Presenting partner Kraken will also drop a series of NFT wearables exclusive for festival goers, unveil a pop-up NFT gallery as well as host a special festival after party. So yes, you can get your NFTs while you're there.
What do you think? 25 seconds or 30 seconds before this turns into porn?
Right. Everything turns into porn.
Of course it does. And digital, everything digital turns into porn. You know damn well. You can make gestures. You can make gestures that'll become your virtual gestures. There is going to be people thrusting dicks like crazy within the first 2 minutes of this.
Now, and I will know that it is you, Chris Aiken.
It won't be me, because I'm not jumping into the metaverse. I'm going to be the old guy in the room, and I still haven't put on a pair of VR goggles. I can't do it. It's too fake for me.
The games and stuff are kind of fun. I mean, it does kind of mess with you a little bit when you're walking on clouds and stuff, and you're just like, ugh.
Yeah, it's just, I'll stay the old guy in the room on this one. I'll be the grandfather.
Right.
Well, in my day,
you actually had to go see Ozzy Osbourne to see
those tickets were $3.50.
Yeah, there actually, I think Sinzak or somebody posted a classic poster, and it was the tickets for the show were like $6.50 or $7.50 the day, or it was like right. $6.50 in advance, $7 at the door. And I was like, you know, somebody was bitching about that 50 cents.
Of course
like,
they were.
Like, what do you mean I got to pay 50 extra cents for Ozzy and Van Halen on the, you know, Black Sabbath with Van Halen opening? What do you mean $7? This is bullshit.
I have a poster on my wall in the other room that's Kiss with opening act Journey, which I don't know right. who booked that, but Kiss with Journey, it is like $2.50 and $3.50 day of show.
And you know, Jesus, somebody's like,
for Kiss and Journey, 300 million records sold.
You know, somebody's wife was like, why didn't we buy these tickets in advance? We would have saved a dollar.
Could have got half a beer with that.
Too funny, man. Let's dive into so listener of the show, Kevin Smith.
Yes.
Not that Kevin Smith, but the YouTube commenter extraordinaire Kevin Smith sent me this story about Nita Strauss. She recruited arch enemies Alyssa White Gluse
for a new single
called The Wolf You Feed. Have you checked out this song at all?
I have checked it out. I love it. Did you see the video?
I just listened to the track. I didn't see the video.
Dude, the video, and not because I'm dirty old porn guy, but the video is A, it's hot, but B, it rocks.
Okay.
It's very, very metal. You know, very, you know, they're all painted up like, you know, black metal chicks in some parts of the video and just rocking out and head spinning and hair flailing. And it's a killer video. Great video from those two.
My take on the song was the music was amazing. And the first few minutes of first minute or so of the song, absolutely amazing. Like the voice and the growling and stuff like that. I don't think I care too much for like the girls that can sing really, really well and like kind of almost like operatic over.
Yeah. They went from Arch Enemy to Nightwish midway through the song. Yeah. I'm with you. I would rather her just keep growling.
But, you know, as for riffs and things like that, amazing. Like that was a killer track.
So what do you think with Nita? Does she? Now, I will admit, I totally badmouthed her when she went to the Demi Lovato thing.
Yeah.
I just thought that was a horrible sellout thing to do. But she seems like she's keeping it metal, and she's just doing the gig for money, the Demi Lovato gig. So I guess I'm going to backtrack a little bit.
If she's putting out this type of stuff and doing the Demi Lovato thing, I think anybody in this position, she's a hired gun, you know, she's a career musician.
Sure.
And I'm assuming that she, you know, you can't pass up Demi Lovato if you're making your money playing guitar, like, she didn't really have any stake in Alice Cooper. You know, that was never her thing. She was just hired gun in that. And so, once you get into that Demi Lovato world, I mean, she's playing massive arenas and, you know, playing on TV and just getting herself out there and everything today is a brand. So, I mean, you know, hopefully now when she puts out something like this, some of those Demi Lovato kids are checking it out, because I think even her playing in Alice Cooper, there's a ceiling there of how many people are going to see her, the type of fan that she's going to get in front of. Mm-hmm. You know, if she's looking for longevity, I think leaving the Alice Cooper band was probably the smartest thing to do. And she jumped up with them recently and obviously has good,
good standing or whatever. Good
standing with the camp and things like that. So, I mean, there's, as long as there's no bad blood and it wasn't, you know, for some nonsense. Yeah. I mean, I applaud her for kind of just getting out there and moving on and playing bigger stages and things like that. You got to.
Yeah. Yeah, and she really has built the Hurricane Nita brand is a definite. I mean, did I see that she got a Super Bowl ring last week for being the Rams gave her a Super Bowl ring because she played the Star Spangled Banner or something every week.
She played every week doing something at the games. Yeah.
So good on her. You know, look, I don't know if you've ever interviewed her or met her or anything. She's the coolest anyway. I interviewed her, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it was, whenever the solo record came out. And she could not have been cooler and nicer to me. And plus, just looking at her, I was like, you know, she's beautiful. Yeah. But yeah, she's super nice and ungodly talented.
Right.
I mean, she would be that. That's the only thing I think we're getting robbed of with her being a hired gun. How good would a band be with her in it?
Yeah.
You know, I would love like a real band situation. I would honestly, she's doing the thing with Alyssa. You know, I'd love to see what she would do with Arch Enemy.
Oh, yeah.
I bet she would bring it. That would be some fierce music coming out of there.
But see, even like an Arch Enemy or something, I don't even know if that's that even a lateral move from Alice Cooper, you know?
I think it's a step down. I mean, it honestly would be a step down. And you know, the weird thing with Arch Enemy, too, is it is a place where great guitar players kind of go and get lost. You know, I mean, look, Jeff Loomis is in that band right now. That dude is fucking phenomenal. But what has he done really amazing in Arch Enemy? I don't think anything, has he?
Once again, not a style of music that I dive into too much, you know, like Arch Enemies and all that stuff of the world. Maybe I need to give him more of a chance, but man, yeah, old Kevin Smith, man, he's been wearing me out with this, with all of the Arch Enemies and things like that. I know you're a big fan.
I am. I love Arch Enemy. Big, big fan of that band, you know, but I think Alyssa she's an amazing, you know, when what's her name, Angela Gossow left the band, I thought they were done. Because there was a lot of bands that were out at that same time that were similar, not similar in style, but had the female fronted that broke, like that band Leaves Eyes was another one that was right around the same time.
Right.
And they left the singer and it was like, they might as well have just broke up. I think they're still around, but no one cares anymore. And when Angela left Arch Enemy, I thought that was it. And man, Alyssa just came in and made that band better. You know, the Agonist, another band. I don't know if you're into them or not, but Vicky Sirakis, she saved that band.
Oh,
That band seemed like when the old singer left that band seemed like they were dead. And Vicky came in and just brought it back to life.
Speaking of another female fronted band, or this one's a female collective, Kitty. So the When We Were Young festival first night, you got canceled like, what was it, the day before maybe, or day of? Was it day before or day of? But they canceled the entire day. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of bands kind of did some sporadic pop-up shows, like Bring Me the Horizon did some stuff, and the All American Rejects did a show, and Kitty found a venue and did a free show. They did a free meet and greet too, and they did a video of the line.
Okay.
And it was like the line like wrapped like in and out of it was like in a store. Wow. And it was like up some steps, down some steps, back up the steps, around the corner. I mean, it was a massive, massive meet and greet. But yeah, they did a free concert. I think a couple other bands did some free stuff here and there. The one thing I saw, the only thing that really bugged me about this, you know, Kitty getting added to the When We Were Young festival. Mm-hmm. And that's a big deal. They played at the same exact time as My Chemical Romance. Like not even a little bit before, a little bit after. I mean, it was like they both started at the same time. I'm like, you cannot go up against My Chemical Romance at the When We Were Young festival.
No, because they're like the biggest band there.
I mean, you know, it's basically an emo festival, and you basically put the kings of emo, you know, on at a certain time. I would like to see the you know, the videos or the photos of when they played at the When We Were Young festival, because even at Louder Than Life, there were a couple of times where main stage was like, I think Lamb of God was main stage, and I think Gwar was playing at the same exact time.
Okay.
And we were kind of back and forth, but the crowd for Gwar was massive.
Right.
You know? And you know, it's one of those things where you're like, I guess some people don't like Lamb of God, which is weird to me. Like if you're into metal and into heavy stuff, but you know, they they did it well. I mean, I think Louder Than Life every night, the headliner of the night played solo.
Okay.
But throughout the day, you know, obviously overlapping bands, but yeah,
sure.
But yeah, that Wind Weeper Young Fest, dude, if you looked at the actual lineup of the day and tried to like circle what you would want to see, it was damn near impossible.
Right. Did Black Veil end up playing or no? Do you know?
I do believe they did. Yes.
Okay.
So everything, I'm assuming everything went off without a hitch on Sunday, and then they play again. They do the event again this Saturday.
Okay.
So
that'll be, it's a cool fest. If you were an emo kid, that's your fest.
Right.
That's your fest. If you're an emo kid and you're not at that, you're not really an emo kid.
Right. Yeah. I got to turn in my emo card. There's so many times where you hear certain things and it just makes you go listen to the old thing. Mm-hmm. Frank Iero from MyChem has a new band called LS Dunes. And
okay.
I was checking it out today and it just made me go back and listen to My Chemical Romance. It's like so many times you hear like the new album from a band and you're like, you know what, this is good, but you know what's really good? The old stuff.
Yeah, the stuff that made me listen to this.
Yeah. But good on them. In another Blabbermouth episode that I don't think there's been a kitty blurb on Blabbermouth that has not included my interview from February with Morgan.
Well, so, there you go.
Another Talk To Me mention on Blabbermouth. So thank you, Bori. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Talk To Me, the official home of Kitty. Right.
Yeah. If you're going to talk about Kitty. Yeah. Sure. I need to reach out to Morgan, have her back on. See, maybe we'll do a post When We Were Young Fest and kind of get a breakdown of how everything went.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
Fildy says there he has no problem with the other members of Korn. We're just in different places right now. After we recorded last week, Fildy posted a video to like his Facebook and his Instagram.
Okay.
And it's weird. It's really weird. It's like he's joking. He like jokingly does like a, since this is not a visual thing, if you're not watching on YouTube, but just think of like a Mike Muir kind of twitch, you know?
Okay.
Because everybody thinks that Fildy's all strung out.
Right.
And so he basically starts the video like kind of twitching. He's like, man, I just need another. And he does it for a little, like way too long.
Okay.
And then he starts talking about his bad habits. He's like, the only bad habit I have. And he picks up like a Miller Lite. He's like, I like to have a few of these every day. And he's trying, it's a really weird video about him trying to justify drinking every night. It's really
okay.
Then he starts talking about Korn, and then he talks to he goes, to clarify the bad habits, I've never tried cocaine, which I don't believe. I've never tried heroin, which maybe. I drink Bud Light, man. It's clear. I mean, if Bud Light wants to give us a sponsorship, I wouldn't be mad, you know.
Right.
And he's just going on and on. It really makes no sense. And then he kind of talks about Korn, talks about his new band Stillwell.
And, like that band or no?
You know, I don't even think I've really ever given them a chance. Yeah. I probably should though.
Nah, maybe not.
Okay. but yeah, man, it's a weird video. If you haven't checked it out, make sure to go check it out.
All right, I'll have to see that. I did not see that. You know what? Here's my issue with that. If you don't have an issue with your guys in Korn, why do you have to put out any statement?
Yeah.
You know, who cares what the dopes online say? You know, just let them say it. Who cares? Now it looks like there's a problem that he's trying to cover up. Right, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, and,
well, I think he's also, like that band Stillwell just put out like a video. So I'm assuming he's kind of doing some promo too. And it would honestly be even worse if this video didn't seem to be edited at all, but there are actually some edits in this video too. So it's not even just top of mind and free flowing. It's like, he actually stopped and started a few times, or, hey, take that part out type stuff.
Okay.
That's a weird video.
I'll have to go watch it. I have not seen this,
but, yeah. So there's that. Another band has canceled European tour. Shinedown cancels their European dates due to economic and logistical side of touring.
Couldn't get a bus, could they?
What's great, I mean, and Shinedown is, you know, obviously a massive radio band, probably sure. Got lots and lots of cash out there in the in the touring world. But yeah, it's, as most of you know, we're not a band who cancels shows. We can think of maybe twice we've done in our 20-year career. That's what makes this a very difficult decision. We were looking forward to touring Europe with our friends Asking Alexandria and 0936. Alas, the economic and logistical side of touring currently in Europe are growing too heavy for us to be able to make this feasible at this present time. With that being said, we made this difficult yet necessary decision. I think that after we talked about Anthrax canceling their stuff, I think they said, I read somewhere else that it was up to like three times the original estimates of what it was going to cost to do the
for
tour.
For a bus and for rooms and stuff. Yeah, I get it. I mean, I do get it, but it's, you know, the thing with Shinedown too, they're not the kind of music that resonates as well in Europe. I'm not saying that they're not popular in Europe and that they would have, you know, 200 people at a show or something.
Right.
But Europe doesn't tend to really do extremely well for radio rock bands.
Right.
You know, without an extreme side to them, they don't usually do as well. So I wonder if that's it too, is that they just couldn't sell out the venues that they were going to be, them and us Asking Alexandria. I don't see that as being a big European ticket. Do you?
I don't. I'm actually going to try to pull it up and see like what the venues were.
Watch us be dead wrong. It's like the O2 Arena.
let's see here. November 30th, Wednesday, the O2 Academy. the O2 Apollo in Manchester, Motorsport Arena, Wembley Stadium.
Oh, Jesus. All right. So we're dead wrong. So I guess we're 1,000. I'm 1,000% wrong on that. Okay.
Cardiff International Arena. But yeah.
All right. So they can play places that big and can't afford to fucking go? Get out of here.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm not seeing the rest of the dates, but yeah, it's funny, the O2 Arena's right there.
Yeah, there's this fridge. Of course, I pulled that one, the one that they're playing. Perfect.
Yeah, you know, T's and P's out to the out to Shinedown. Weekly, we talk about this, but our good friend David Ellefson on the Pantera Reunion says people want to hear those songs.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Enough with the Pantera quotes from everybody that's ever met them. Dude, I saw today Dave Lombardo says this, and Ellefson says that, and you know, anybody that's ever met Pantera, now it's a story. We couldn't get Terry Glaze.
That's what I was about to bring up. And the one guy that was in a version of Pantera, all he said was, "I love Van Halen."
Yeah, thanks.
I sent that quote out. I was like, is there a way to even get this quote out?
Right.
I was like, I sent it out under the guise of like Terry Glaze, non-committal to the Pantera thing, right, or something like that. And then I had two quotes that I kind of pulled from it, thinking that maybe we would get something. And one was that, you know, it was because the full quote is, "I love Dimebag. I love Vinny. I love the guys. I love this ... but I love Van Halen," or something. Right. It was a weird quote. And then the other quote in there he said was, he's like, "Of those first three Pantera albums, the worst thing on it's me."
Yeah.
Which I think is a fun, and that could have been a fun quote.
That could have been a fun quote too. But yeah, no, dude, we've talked about this off air before. We talk about it on the air. Okay. For the life of me, I can't figure out how fucking Bory picks what he picks.
Right.
I can't figure it. You know, it's like sometimes you got a quote and you're just like, this is the perfect thing. This is like written for Blabbermouth. Nothing.
Right.
Then other times, you know, I threw out that quote with Wasp last week.
Yeah.
You know, Wasp. And it was like a whole like 40 seconds of audio, or whatever. It was up, I think, within an hour of when I posted it. From when I posted on YouTube, it was on Blabbermouth.
Right.
And I was like, how in the hell does it happen so fast? You know, how does he pick these things?
It's funny, when the show started back seven years ago when I started the show.
When I started
the Talk To Me Pie, it was funny. My episodes used to come out on Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
And it would typically take him like 2 days to get to my show. Like, you know, you know, by Thursday or Friday, if it didn't come out, it wasn't coming out.
Right.
And then there for a while, it was day of, you know, I could be at work, you know, 10 o'clock and get a ding, you know.
Right.
Blabbermouth has posted your thing. And yeah, but sometimes you just get what you think you have gold and you send it. You send it. And I even send it like in a Blabbermouth formatted headline in the email heading, like Dave Mustaine, you know, says blah, blah, blah. And you're like, here we go. And then he pulls something completely different or.
Right.
That's, yeah. I think the PRP pulled something of mine the other day and I sent him like the juicy quote.
Yeah.
And the guy that runs the PRP wrote back. He's like, I went a little bit in a different direction with it. And he pulled something else, but like, I was like, all right, man, if that's what you're going to do.
Hey, whatever. Just make sure you spell our name right. That's all we care about. Is that right. Wookabus?
Yeah, Wookabus.
Wookabus.
Yeah, that dude's been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, he is.
And he actually is the person that introduced me to Primer 55.
Look at that. Oh, how about that?
Yeah. When he posted one day that they needed a bass player and I had a somewhat of a relationship with him and I was like, hey, do you have a contact? And he's like, I normally wouldn't do this, but you seem to be a cool dude. Wow.
And you got the gig.
Little did he know.
That's right.
Not a cool dude. But yeah, let's see here. David Ellison on the Chuck Shute podcast. Chuck Shute, good guy. Nice Seahawks fan. He was actually at the NFL draft. Wearing like one of those big chains with the Seahawks logo, like
Chuck Shute was.
Yeah, he was at Rockin' Pod. I met him there, and then like I was watching. We're friends on Facebook, and he posted. Okay. He was posting photos from the NFL draft in Vegas.
Okay.
And then I was watching the draft on TV, and they went to some Seahawks fans, and there he was, like, ah! But
not the guy I would expect to be doing that.
Yeah. But let's see here. Ellison discussed his views on Pantera comeback in a new interview with the Chuck Shute podcast. Look, I just went and did the Kings of Thrash, he said, as transcribed by the blabbermouth.net, referencing his project with fellow ex-Megadeth members Jeff Young and Chris Poland. We played early Megadeth songs that people haven't heard in many years and may not ever hear again if someone like us doesn't go play them. People love them. They love them. They are some original members in the organization, so they love it. Look, there's no replacing Diamond Vinny. I mean, on one level, Pantera as Pantera with the brothers, that's set in stone, never will be replicated again and can't. So, and then he goes on to say nice things about Charlie, say nice things about Zach. But yeah, that's... did you watch any of that Kings of Thrash? I know they posted like the entire set. I watched most of it.
I'm told that there might be more shows, and I am very hopeful because I would really like to go see that.
Yeah, I thought it was fun, man. They played them boots or these. Did you say ask him about the boots?
Question? I didn't ask him about the boots.
But it was why did you guys cover these boots?
We need to get him on here.
Yeah,
we should. Why don't we get him on here one week? He'll do it.
We can do that.
He'll do it if he's in the country. Seems like he's always out of the fucking country. He's like, I talked to him today, and he's like, yeah, I'm leaving in 2 days for going to Portugal or somewhere to record something with something. But by the way, speaking of him, you and I have been pronouncing his Polish band wrong. Now we've been calling it Death, like Megadeth. Yeah. It is not Death.
Yeah.
I was corrected. It is Dieth.
Like, I think I heard him say it
by the sword.
That makes a little bit more sense. I guess it's kind of cooler than Death.
Yeah, because I called it Death. He's like, no, it's Dieth. And I was like, okay, Dieth.
All right, and that sounds cooler. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
And one last story of a headline I never thought I would have to read out loud.
Okay.
So Michael Sweet doesn't believe Stryper will get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame while he is alive.
Ooh.
I don't understand why he would. I mean, I guess I'm assuming it's a question. Like, do you think Michael, you know, Stryper will ever get inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I don't see why they would ever get inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Like, that's like one band I would never place in the Rock Hall, but.
In other news, I'm pretty confident that Bananarama will not be inducted either.
I would almost say Bananarama would get in before Stryper.
No chance.
I'm just saying with their stances on kind of like the heavier metal and rock and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, dude, they're not getting into the Rock Hall, for God's sakes. Be happy if they get into the Christian Hall of Fame. Jesus.
Them and Petra.
Yeah, Petra and Bloodgood.
You know, it's because you start talking about this stuff, and actually, I guess his quote is, yeah, I think Stryper deserves a place in there at some point, just as any other band, as much as Bon Jovi.
No, they don't.
That was in 2019.
They don't deserve it as much. And look, I can't take Bon Jovi, but there's no denying that Bon Jovi was a massive, massive, massive band.
Yeah.
You know, Stryper was never that big. Stryper was never that big. Have they ever done like an arena tour as a headliner?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I've seen them a few times, not by choice, but by opening.
Did you check out the new album?
Yeah, that's okay. If you like that, they're a strange band to me because I really, really like Michael Sweet. He is like really a great guy. Great guy, great interview, says what he thinks, you know, even if it's unpopular. I love all that about him. His voice, I can't do. I can't do it. It's, you know, I know it's good for what it is. It just doesn't work for me. You know, I liked one album that they ever did. It was the one that they didn't do all the religious shit on, the Against the Law. I like that album and that's it. But yeah, I mean, they're okay. They're heavier now. I do like that they are a heavier band, but you know, heavier than what?
Yeah, Stryper was never a band that I got into. And then the last couple of albums have been good. Yeah. I've enjoyed what I've heard off of them. And then, you know, we got the new album, you know, in the promo bin. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean,
it's Stryper. It's Stryper. If you like them, you'll like it. If you don't, you won't.
You know, a band like Stryper, it's funny they even think about going in the Rock Hall. And I think a band like a Pantera should be in at some point. Megadeth, I think, should be in at some point. But then you get into some of the newer stuff. I know that Foo Fighters are already in, but even like a band like Korn, to me, I think should be in because they, you know, created a new genre of music, you know, and of hard rock and metal. I think of some of those bands. I obviously, you know, Deftones, Limp Bizkit, probably not getting in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but I think Korn could be like the token new metal band to go in because of you know, all of the things that they kind of changed at the time.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it won't be them. It'll be like Disturbed because they're way more corporate. Even, I'm just being honest, they're way more corporate. Disturbed will probably get in as that band. It wouldn't shock me if Limp Bizkit got in over Korn, which would be a tremendous disservice. But Durst, I look at Limp Bizkit as the next era Guns N' Roses, you know, a little bit crazy, shook the world up, obviously, you know, are blamed for ruining Lollapalooza and all that other nonsense. So,
Woodstock 99.
But or whatever, same thing. Yeah. You know, the point being that they were the radical band, like Guns N' Roses was the radical 80s band.
Right.
So it wouldn't shock me that a band that sold, I mean, what did Limp Bizkit sell? 50, 60 million records?
Whew. That seems high.
Does it seem high? 40? I mean, dude, Chocolate Starfish had to sell 6. So did Significant Other. So did $3 Bill. Well, I guess that's only 18. Maybe 25 million?
Well, it says 40.
All right.
Estimated 40 million worldwide. But see, the thing with them is, I mean, they have 6 studio albums, but you know, they only really have three, maybe 4. I mean, you got a couple weird ones in there and stuff like that. But, you know, because you get into some of these bands like Kiss that have 40 studio albums.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, but yeah, 40 million, that's a lot. That's a lot of records.
That is, I could see them getting in because they, you know, they had the rock and roll spirit.
Right.
You know, I could see that. Korn never getting in. No way.
You think they get a Spirit of Rock and Roll award?
No. I don't think they get any attention. Dude, honestly, I mean, the hometown band should has a decent shot to get in. Slipknot.
Oh, yeah.
Slipknot has a legitimate claim to get in just because, you know, they were like the first gimmick band that didn't rely on the gimmick.
Right.
You know, Kiss relied on the makeup, Gwar, you know, Bowie, all those bands all relied on the gimmick a little bit. Slipknot, they had the gimmick, but they didn't use it. They still put out the metal and right. they, you know, really they changed. I think they changed the way they changed the whole scene at that point. You know, we were going into that whole Machine Head Fear Factory thing. And then all of a sudden here came Slipknot and the whole entire sound changed. Like every band after.
Over. Yeah.
Well, every band after kind of sounded like Slipknot.
Yeah.
For about 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely changed the game. I remember seeing them before anybody knew what any of them looked like. And that was mm-hmm. the time period when I was kind of hanging around the buses and talking right. to people and new people. And so like, it was that whole thing of everybody that walked by, you're like, I wonder if that's Corey Taylor or that's right. Sid or, you know, Mick Thompson sure. or whatever, you know, you just wondered who everybody was.
Right.
And you're like trying to, you know, well, that guy's got a tattoo that could be Slipknot tattoo, you know?
Yeah. So. You know, the other thing for the Rock Hall too, Corey Taylor's pretty mainstream.
Yeah.
Which that helps them, you know, that would definitely help them in the Dave Grohl kind of way, you know, I could see them getting in.
Corey Taylor get in solo CMFT solo stuff in. Yeah. I don't see a ton of the stuff that we listen to getting in the Rock nah. Hall. And obviously, you know, the Rock Hall's definition of rock and roll is all over the place. So
yeah.
there's no telling what's going to get in that place.
And here goes Crazy Town in.
And Primer 55. I probably wouldn't even get inducted though. Cause I was like, I wasn't on the original album or something, you know, I'd be that
Primer would get in, but nobody would go. Cause nobody wants to shell the 10 G's out for their own tickets.
Yeah. That's another sham.
Yeah. Crazy.
You can come, but you have to spend $20,000 on a table for you and your family.
Yeah. That's nice. Nice Thank work. You, Rock Hall.
Oh man. All right. So, any reviews, recommendations, what have you been watching this week? Anything?
I got a TV one and a music one. Musically, right. I'm going with David Ellefson, the Ellefson Soto record, Vacation. Was it Vacation in the Underworld?
Yeah. Actually, I listened to that today. So I got some thoughts.
I like it. I really like it a lot. It's heavy, not heavy, heavy, like, you know, like dieth heavy, but it's pretty fucking heavy, and it's heavy for Soto, you know, Jeff Scott Soto, who does AOR music. It's definitely heavier than what he normally does. So I like it. You don't like it?
I didn't like Jeff's. I don't know Jeff Scott Soto very well.
Okay.
Vocally. And I didn't really care for his voice too much, but man, there is some awesome bass playing on this album.
Oh yeah.
I think it's, I'm looking at it. I think it's Rise to Win is the track. And just like the bass line that opens that track up. Musically, I think it's a great album. Jeff Scott Soto is going to have to grow on me. I don't really know him very well.
I'm a huge fan. He's like my favorite guy out there today. So I'm a definite JSS honk there. So I'm a big, big fan of him, but that's cool. I mean, hey, everybody doesn't like everything. You're allowed to be wrong. It's fine. You know? And then TV wise, I watched this movie. I thoroughly enjoyed it, even though it is not doing well in the Rotten Tomatoes world.
Okay.
But I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. It's on Amazon Prime and it was called Torn Hearts.
Okay.
With Katie Sagal and Alexis Lemire, I think is her name.
Okay.
And Sailor LaRocque. They were the stars. And I don't know the two girls at all. I obviously know Katie Sagal from
right.
Married with Children and obviously Sons of Anarchy and stuff like that. So it's these two young girls, they're like a bar band trying to get famous.
Okay.
And So the one bar girl meets up with this famous country star. They're country singers. And she goes back to his apartment and fucks this country guy.
Okay.
And while she's banging this country guy, she sees this picture of her favorite star of all time, this whatever her name is, one of the Duchess sisters. And so they get to talking, and he admits that he knows her. So he gives her her address where she lives. So they go to the house to try and work something out, like to have her record with them or something.
Okay.
But then it turns real fucked up, and it's like she's like secretly a killer, and she's like she's okay. like trying to kill them, and it kills their manager. I mean, it goes crazy. It's like one of these suspense thriller horror things.
Right.
And like I said, it's getting murdered on like Rotten Tomatoes and stuff. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was like a campy old school horror movie. Hmm. And it was a lot of fun. So that's my pick of the week, I guess. Torn Hearts on Amazon Prime.
All right. What was your TV? Did you have TV?
I really didn't watch much TV. Oh, I've just been watching baseball. Been watching the Padres get eliminated.
Yeah, our Padres.
Sons of bitches.
They were right there too. Yeah. You know what's funny is that the more I tried to find, that's why I was listening to LS Dunes today, trying to find something. Decent band, kind of an emo super group there too. A couple of guys from like Thursday and My Chemical Romance and maybe Taking Back Sunday, you know, and Circus Survivors. I don't know. It's pretty much any of those bands. Just grab a couple of members and you got a new
right. band.
It's not too terrible. The only thing I've been watching is football. Titans did well, and then it was funny. Titans eked out this crappy win, and then it switches over like we're gonna now go live to the Cleveland Browns versus the Baltimore Ravens. And I'm like, I'm not talking to Chris today.
No, that was. Well, I'm not that bad at a loss because I don't expect them to win.
Yeah,
you know, I have not been real high on this team at all this year. I didn't expect them to win, but it was just a bad game.
You know, going back to what you said earlier, you know, the one year you didn't watch the Browns, they went to the playoffs and won a game, right?
Yeah.
And then you moved away to Pittsburgh to do pinball PA, and the Cavaliers won the championship while you were gone. Like, I think it's you, man. I think it you really need to look in the mirror and have a long talk with yourself.
It could be.
You're not keeping up with the Guardians. They did.
Yeah, they did well. I didn't watch a single pitch of the Guardians this year, and they did well. So, you know, it could very well be me. I could be Cleveland's bad luck charm. I don't know, but whatever. They're going to have to deal with it.
But the only TV I did watch, and I've been kind of meaning to bring this back up, but I talked about it a few weeks ago, is the new Beavis and Buttheads. Yeah. They put out like two episodes every Thursday, and they're competing with the Talk to Me podcast. But
I think they're winning.
They're probably winning. But man, I mean, they just continue to put out good stuff every week. And you know, the one where you know Beavis gets the yoga pants and. You know, just the whole thing, man. I'm just dying laughing, just watching Beavis and Butthead. Still, I'm 43 years old and cracking up like I'm 13.
It, what is the line in the yoga pants? What he's like, you look like a back with legs. Yeah. That shit was hilarious.
And like Beavis checking himself out. He's like, yeah. he goes, I'd hit that, you know, shit like that. Just
dude, what's your favorite of that season so far?
Oh,
because I know what mine is.
What's yours?
Mine is the one where they're old Beavis and old Butthead, and they're sitting on the couch, and Beavis has to drink the beer, or Beavis drinks all the beer and his kidney explodes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think there was that. And there was the
box was good.
The when they were stuck in the box, there was the girl that liked Beavis and was trying to like it was the I heart you and
right.
But they had it out to like you know that she was going to kick his butt or something.
Right.
That was a good episode. But yeah, I mean they've all been pretty much home runs all season. It's been
great.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you this: since you've got Paramount, are you watching the old series now? No,
I haven't really. No, it rolls into the old episodes, right. And you know, I'll watch a little bit here and there, but
dude, I am back in with the old ones now because I've forgotten as many as I remembered.
Yeah,
you know, I think we all loved the show, but we all had like our favorites. We don't remember much past our favorites. Now that I've gotten back in with the new, now I'm just watching all of the old stuff and just crying, laughing. It's so fucking funny.
Have we ever talked? Are you an SNL person or no?
I am not. I have not watched SNL since Eddie Murphy.
Okay. I still love it. I still watch it every week. But this year has been tough because this is like a new cast. Mm-hmm. Like they've added a bunch and a lot of the heavyweights left. So they're kind of breaking in a new cast. And I mean, it's definitely had some moments this year. And SNL has always been hit or miss no matter what. Everybody always thinks back to like, it was better when Chris Farley was on. But I mean, there was hit, you know, you watch those full episodes when Chris Farley was on and it's hit or miss then too.
Right.
You just happen to remember the Matt Foley.
It's always been hit. When they had the all time cast,
yeah.
Bill Murray and you know, that era of the show, it still was hit or miss. It's always been, because it's live.
It's live, it's sketch comedy, you know, they're rapidly putting it all together. The one thing that's nice that it's on Peacock is there's no commercial breaks at all. So it's just like basically like an hour straight through. Because there for a while it was on Hulu, but we had the ad Hulu.
Right.
I mean, ads on Hulu, by the way, if you have ads on Hulu, it blows out your TV speakers every time it goes to an ad.
Mm-hmm.
So we finally... we had Hulu through our phone company and like that ran out. So I was like, we have to pay the extra. Like, I don't care if it's $6 a month. We're paying the extra for Hulu without the ads.
Right.
Because it's just like quiet TV show. And then.
Rah! Right.
So yeah.
What are you watching on Hulu?
I don't know. I think she watches American Horror Story. I think it's on Hulu.
Okay. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I pretty much have given up on Hulu. Once they lost all the NBC stuff, I was like, well, I got all that at Peacock.
Right.
I'm good.
I mean, really, it was all these streaming services, they have to keep at least one thing a month to keep you engaged because it's like, I don't know if it's easy, smarter to just keep these streaming services going or, you know, have them, cancel them, have them, cancel them whenever you want it. Like there's something you want to watch. I don't know which one's either more financially responsible or, you know, which is more of a pain in the ass.
I'm just thankful that I have like 35 family members.
Right. Yeah. Family members.
That's right.
Speaking of subscription services, if you guys want to, make sure to go to notfest.com, become a VIP where you can watch all of my interviews, full videos of my interviews, Notfest VIP.
Yeah. Shameless plug.
There we go. Well, I think that will do it for another episode of Talk To Me here on notfest.com. So, so for the Talk To Me podcast, I'm Joshua Toomey.
I am your Lord and Savior.
And we will talk to you soon.
See ya.
The Talk To Me podcast presented by NotFest.com. Follow the show at Talk To Me Talk. Be sure to subscribe, rate the podcast, and leave a review on your favorite podcast app to get the latest from the Talk To Me podcast.